Hello, Red Shirts, and welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today I want to discuss my newfound appreciation for 2D6 tables. But first, I want to mention a new Patreon that I'm backing, and I encourage other podcasters to do the same. The music you just heard, and the next music you'll hear, are by T.J. Drennan, of two podcasts, Malodorous Miasma Meltdown and Occult Orifice Outrage. The Triple M podcast is a parody of other Anchor OSR podcasters that features samples of his music, and the Triple O podcast is his gaming podcast, where he started with the RPG A Day in August. T.J. has also done theme songs for several podcasters. And now he's launched a Patreon with music for bumpers and other things a podcaster or YouTuber needs. Backers of his Patreon get a royalty-free license to use them in their podcasts. He's also available to create a theme song for your needs. If you're looking to take your podcast to a higher level, consider backing his efforts. You can find his Patreon at patreon.com/TJD. Longtime listeners of the podcast have probably noticed that there have been some changes in the podcast. I finally began to refer to my listeners as Red Shirts, as I suggested I was going to do quite some time ago. I've also stopped mentioning the different names of episodes, as in Tuesday Tales, Thursday Thoughts, and Saturday Scrawl, at least not consistently. I've redone my end blurb, so you no longer get the infamous "And here's the end blurb," because I thought it needed to be done better. I'll be replacing the poor quality audio versions of that in past episodes, so thank you for your patience while I improve my efforts. As I mentioned in my promotion of T.J. Drennan's Patreon, I'm trying to improve the quality and content of my podcast. You've probably also noticed that I've begun running ads. Initially, I said I wouldn't do that, as the goal was to let my Patreon fund everything. Well, my Patreon has just not taken off, and I'm not making a lot off of sales on DriveThruRPG. Part of that is I know I need to get better layout on what I've got, and I'm getting better. Unfortunately, I can't afford to hire people to lay out a monthly PDF. So I've got to get better at that myself. I just was curious, what do you think of the changes we've had? And as you all know from my past episodes, I've started running a online game of Delving Deeper on Thursdays, which cuts into the time I normally produce my Thursday episode. I'm considering trying to pre-publish it on Wednesday to keep the schedule, or to change it to Friday, and I wanted to get some input. Do you like my Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday format? Would it matter if I changed what day I used instead of Thursday, or should I change all the days? Currently, I don't think it'd work to change away from Tuesday and Saturday. Thursday, I'm going to have to be more flexible whether I record a Thursday episode on Wednesday or switch the date to do it on Friday. I don't want to have two podcasts back-to-back on days. I'm not quite sure how I want to handle that. I'd appreciate call-ins to clarify. What would you prefer? Late last night, I published a new post on my blog about my newfound appreciation for 2-die 6-tables. That is, 2 dice rolled and added together. And I called them additive tables because you add the dice together. And examples of that would be the classic morale and reaction tables. And out of curiosity, I got to looking back, and from what I could tell in my PDFs of the original D&D 3 little books, there are no 2d6 tables. There's a 3d6 table that you use to generate initial loyalty, and so I don't know if you... I just didn't see where it explained how to roll against that table. And in delving deeper, it uses a 3d6 table for the initial loyalty of hirelings and retainers and so forth. And then you use the 2d6 table for morale checks and a similar 2d6 table for reaction checks when you have an encounter. I've also used that 2d6 table format with the 5 options, one neutral item in the middle, then either side of that a slightly positive or slightly negative, and then at the extremes, really positive or really negative. In my campaign, I have a deity of luck and fortune and had the idea that clerics and devotees of that religion would have a holy coin that they would flip for binary decisions and holy dice that they would roll to check their luck or fortune for the day, with some possibilities for some bonuses for players that do that consistently. And as I was thinking about the options of 2d6 tables percolating in the back of my mind, I realized the obvious thing, that there are 11 possible options if you have one item for each possible option of a 2d6 roll between 2 and 12. I mused further that you can take 100 and divide it by 11 9 times with the remainder of 1. And there's something significant about the 9 in my history. As I've mentioned a few times, I was a volunteer firefighter EMT, and in EMT training, we discussed what's called the Rule of Nines, which I have an article on my blog about that, and I'll have a link to the article about the tables, and you'll be able to find the link in there to the Rule of Nines. But basically what that is it's used to determine the percentage surface area of a body, for example, when you're burned. How do you figure out how much of a person's body's been burned? Well, there's 9% for the head, 9% for each arm, 18% for each leg. The front and back of each leg is 9%, 18% for the front of the torso, and 18% for the back of the torso, leaving 1%, which is the groin area. In thinking about that, as I may have mentioned several times in the past, I've toyed with the idea of a Western RPG, and like Boot Hill and other games I'm familiar with, they've got a hit location chart. I tried to map that to the 2d6 table with 11 options, and it's not quite balanced, but it comes pretty close, and I've got screenshots of my efforts there, so you can see how that works. And I recall lots of articles about 2d6 tables, and for some reason I had it conflated. I was thinking that people were using it for like dungeon stocking and restocking, and there were some tables that did use 2 die, but they weren't added together. They were 2 individual rolls. But there was a lot of discussion of morale checks and encounter checks with that same 2d6 with 5 options, and some people have used that to develop skill checks and like for thieves and so forth. And I've got lots of links to all the different articles about both the dungeon stocking, restocking, and encounter reaction tables from back in the day. I've read a lot of articles in my time following the OSR, because I followed the OSR before I started my blog. And to help understand the odds better, most gamers may be familiar with the website AnyDice, anydice.com, link in the show notes, and you can put in different types of rolls to get a look at them. If you do a 2d6 and add it together, it's weighted strongly for the middle. Nearly 50% if you roll between a 5 and a 9, you're easily 44, I think it's 44.4%. So if you want something more balanced, you'd need to have a different type of table. Other forms of tables are called the D66 table, where you roll 2D6 and use it to come up with 36 options with 11 through 16. If you roll a 1 and a 6, you know, if the first die is a 1, it's the 10's position and the second die is the 1's position. So you can do, for example, 11 through 16 or the extreme 61 through 66. So it's not a full 66 options because you're leaving out intermediate numbers, but those table types are used by Maze Rats and Knave, so you can check those out to see some examples if you've not yet gotten those publications. It's really got me thinking about all the different options that we can use with 2D6 tables, and I just see lots of application that I can use that either as an additive table or a D66 table. And I had a comment on my blog I haven't quite processed in my mind of another way to do 2D6. I guess it's two separate rolls they were discussing, but I haven't had time to solidify what they're getting at in my process yet, because I just read that before I started recording. And I had a comment that somebody's working on a 2D6 game for Arneson or Anchorite, Arnesonian Anchors. Anchorites Appreciate Arneson Month, which will be October, starting quite soon. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that. I'll definitely have a podcast and a blog post about it. I don't know that I've got enough I can have every single day of the month about it. I know there are others who will try. Since I don't have enough of a clue what I could do to stretch out discussing the topic of Dave Arneson beyond a full episode, I'm not going to sweat it much. One thing I have noticed, though, is my enthusiasm for preparation of maps and notes and Roll20 organization for my new campaign. I'm way behind on my September PDFs. My patrons are pretty chill about that. I do want to get it out before the end of the month and work on top of, I guess I've used my preparation as relief stress valve from the stress I've been dealing with at work. Had a situation that at the end of August basically put me a month behind on everything, and I'm slowly digging my way out, but there's just not enough time before busy time of year that I see getting myself dug out of this. People keep taking vacations or being sick, and I need time off myself. Enough blathering about that. I just am really impressed with what we can do with simple tables, and while there's all these different types of dice we can use using the various Platonic solids, we don't necessarily have to use them. There are certain applications where they're better suited to what we need, and I don't think we should artificially make a 2D6 table do something that isn't really going to work well with it. It would probably be better to get the right kind of die to do that. For example, if you have two choices, roll a single die and go high-low. That's an overkill to use a 2D6 table for a binary choice. And if you need increments of 5%, use a D10 with a control die or a D20, which a D20 is right at 5% increments. And if you need 1% increments, percentile dice. So there are things that work better. And back to my hit location, I've got a D12 that's got names of parts of the body. It's not a balanced die because it keeps rolling the same things over and over again. So a more balanced, especially for a random hit location, if you want it to be balanced and not weighted towards the center of mass, a D12 table with those different parts on it makes more sense in some respects if it's totally random. If it's an aimed shot, I would say center mass. And in a Western type thing, you don't want to bog down the system too much, because in Boot Hill you've got to make several different rolls to see where you're hit and how bad the hit is and yada yada. I've not played other Western RPGs, so I can't comment on how their mechanics works. But just some things I'm thinking about. If you are doing anything special with 2D6 tables, or have done anything special with 2d6 tables? Please share, I'd be interested to see what you've got.
To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com. My podcast is here on Anchor, and is syndicated in many other places. If you listen to the podcast on iTunes, please leave a review. I also have a YouTube channel devoted to various RPG topics, like my series Roll20 for the Absolute Beginner. You can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. Check out the social page on my blog to locate me across the various social media. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways that you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is very important. Consider backing my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on DriveThruRPG. I have over 12 and counting RPG-related PDFs on DriveThruRPG. You can also support me by using my link to Amazon. When you make an Amazon purchase, a small portion of that goes to me without increasing the cost to you. I'm also working on a card game that I plan to kickstart in 2020. You can find the sign up for the announcement mailing list on my blog. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo by Satine Phoenix. I hope you all are having an awesome day. Thank you for listening, and game on.